Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul here is writing what we might call an apology, or at least an explanation of why he didn't make a trip to Corinth that he told the Corinthians that he was going to make. And so he writes in this way. I wanted to come to you first, he says, so that you might have a double favor. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to ordinary human standards, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For in him every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason it is through him that we say the Amen to the glory of God. It is to God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting his seal on us and giving us his Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. Friends, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of worship this day. We would pray now that the words of my mouth, for the meditations of our hearts, our reflections, our thoughts, may they be pleasing to you and so move us as we seek to respond to your great calling and live to your glory. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. The young minister, new to his first call, wanted to introduce some liturgical responses into the worship service. So he instructed the congregation that when I say, "The Lord be with you," you should respond, "And also with you." Let's try that. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Well, this went famously for the first couple of weeks, but one Sunday morning he stepped into the pulpit only to discover that the microphone wasn't working. So he flipped a couple of switches, he tapped on the microphone, all to no avail, and finally he said somewhat frustratingly, "The microphone's not working." And the congregation dutifully responded, "And also with you." Ah, yes. There's something wrong with this microphone. This morning we come to the end of our study of the Apostles' Creed, and we find just one word remaining. Amen. And I wonder with you if this has become something of a dutiful liturgical response for us, just the way we end a prayer. Or a hymn, or a creed, a liturgical way of saying the end. But is that all it is? Or might there be something more to this little word? Beginning last November, we have been making our way very deliberately through our study of the Apostles' Creed, the oldest and most generally accepted confessional statement of our faith. Together we have said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." We even spent 14 weeks looking at the little comma between born of the Virgin Mary and suffered under Pontius Pilate. Hard to believe, isn't it? And yet, even as we come now to the end of our study, we realize that there is so much more that we could still say about our faith. And yet, at the same time, we would say that this short confession, while written centuries ago, has satisfied the needs of believers through the centuries, and it satisfies our needs still today. So as we come to the end of the statement, at the end of our study, we have to find a way to signal to everyone that we are done. And how do we do that? We say, Amen. But what do we mean when we say it? The word amen is untranslated from the Hebrew amen. It has various meanings, but the first is that it means truly. When we say amen, we are affirming that what has just been said is true for us. If someone makes a statement and we say that we agree with that, then we say amen to that. It means we're in agreement, that we believe that what has been said is true for us. And that's exactly what we do here. At the end of the creed, at the close of a prayer, in response in worship, although it doesn't happen very often, we don't have much of an amen corner in Presbyterian churches. But when we say amen, we are saying yes to that. I believe that's true. I'm in agreement with that. Speaking of the Apostles' Creed, the great reformer John Calvin writes, "We consider it to be beyond controversy the only point that ought to concern us, that the whole history of our faith is summed up in it succinctly and in definite order, and that it contains nothing that is not vouchsafed by genuine testimonies of Scripture." So this great thinker of our faith is saying it's true. Amen to that. Even though this statement of faith was written long ago and centuries of believers have confessed it, it continues to be very relevant and timely for us still today. And so we join in that great company in saying amen. So to say amen is, in effect, to say, I believe this. But it can also be translated, so be it, or let it be so, or let it become true. Dallas Willard more succinctly says, we could say, whoopee! That's exactly the way I want it. And in this sense, amen is not just an affirmation of the truth of a statement, it is also a confirmation of our response to the statement. It's our seal of approval. It is our call to action. One of the great critiques of religion and of us as religious people is that we have a tendency to say one thing in here with our mouths and then live in quite a different way out there. We have contracted what some have called the head nodder's disease. We sit in worship and nod our heads in agreement with a fine sermon, and then somehow that agreement in here doesn't always translate very well into a changed way of living out there. And some of you are nodding your heads. When we say amen, however, we're being called not just into agreement, but into action. We're saying, in response to what I know to be true, this is what I'm going to do, which is a reminder to us that the word faith is as much a verb as it is a noun. It's not simply something we say we believe, it is something we actually get up and do. Many have spoken of faith as being the movement then from being knowledge to agreement, but ultimately to an action, to trust, or to faith. Take a simple example. One day early in my ministry, I was invited by a friend to go flying with him. I know that airplanes can fly. I have seen them do that. And so that's knowledge. And I have enough knowledge about airplanes that I was willing to go to the airport with him that day. But on this particular day, when we got there, Ray began showing me all around this little airplane we would be flying in. He meticulously explained about the rudders and the flaps and how the engine is offset from the fuselage. It was all very interesting, albeit more than I really wanted to know about airplanes. But I'll confess, I was getting a little bored. I just wanted to go flying. But in that little teaching time, my knowledge about airplanes expanded to agreement. Not only did I now know that airplanes could fly, now I knew something about how airplanes could fly, and it all made good sense to me. Translate that into the life of faith. We can have heard about Jesus. We can have knowledge of Jesus of Nazareth, which hopefully then leads us to the next step, where we actually seek to know more about him, to learn about him, to listen to his teachings. We may even come to accept that he was a remarkable man and a great prophet, and that would be agreement. But it's still not faith. There's one more step that is absolutely necessary, and we call it trust. So when Ray finally finished explaining to me all the intricacies of this little airplane and how it works, he finally said, "Let's go flying." And with that, he proceeded to walk to the right side of the airplane, the passenger side of the airplane, which meant that I was supposed to go to the left side of the airplane, the pilot's seat. You see, Ray had been carefully explaining to me everything I needed to know with the intention that I was going to be the one flying that day. And suddenly I wished I had paid a little more attention to what he had been teaching me. In that moment, my knowledge and agreement about airplanes was being put to the test. It was being called into action. Did I really trust this to be true that he was telling me? I mean, it's one thing to agree with it on the ground and quite another to take it up in the air. But then for the next hour or so, I taxied, we took off, we landed, I didn't do it very well, we came back again, we taxied, we landed, we took off and flew again. Ray sitting right beside me the entire time giving me instruction. You see, in that movement from knowledge to agreement, both of which are very easy to do, and they can be very little more than a mental exercise, then called me into action, into trust, and some have called that the leap of faith. It's a movement from knowing about something to agreeing with that thing, that statement, what people might say about him, to actually putting our trust in him as Savior and Lord. And that leap of faith, that call to action, is what we take when we say, amen. When we say amen, we're saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and I'm going to trust this God with the living of my life, with his loving care and his sovereign providence over me and our world, even when things go terribly wrong. To say amen is to say, I'm going to live my life in the sure confidence that God is able to make all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It is to say that I'm going to live my life in the full confidence that all of the promises of God are faithful and true. To say amen is to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who alone in whom alone we can find our salvation. We are confessing that we know that we can't earn our salvation on our own. It is a gift that has been given to us by God. It's a free gift of grace. As Paul will write in his letter to the Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a free gift, not the result of works, lest anyone should boast. And so in gratitude and praise, we say, amen, that is true. And in that amen, we are being called to action, not only to accept him as our Savior, but also to follow him as our Lord. To say amen is to submit to his lordship, to go when he says go, and stay when he says stay, and follow when he says come, follow me. And to this we say, amen, so be it, let it be so in me. To say amen is to accept the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us and to pray for his empowering to do the work that God calls us to do in his name. It's to accept our role as members of the body of Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and to recognize that the one who holds us together is greater than anything that could ever divide us or separate us. To say amen is to accept the new reality of the forgiveness of sins, not just as a wonderful little perk that now when we confess our sins, God will forgive us, but it's a game-changing kind of confession that allows us then to pray with audacity, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, which means my relationship with God also changes my relationship with others. God's forgiveness of me translates into my forgiveness of others. To say amen is to profess that the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, not just some pie-in-the-sky ideal for an afterlife, but this is the very acknowledgement that heaven and eternal life in God's presence is our true believer's heart's home, such that every day I'm going to make a conscious effort to do something to ready myself for life as it one day will be in his glorious kingdom. It is to live in the sure and certain hope that one day we will see Jesus again and will live with him in his eternal kingdom. And to that end, we say, amen, whoopee, that's just the way I want it to be. To say amen is to stand with God in the company of his people and say, this is what I believe. As Martin Luther did before his accusers in the 16th century, saying, here I stand, I can do no other. On this truth, I will stake my claim. To say amen is to pray that the power and the presence of God might touch our lives and deepen our faith and enrich our understanding of his word and strengthen our resolve to trust him and follow him. To this end, we say amen. So let it be. John Updike is helpful with this insight as he writes, I call myself a Christian by defining a Christian as a person willing to profess the creed. I profess it, which means I do not necessarily understand it, nor can I fill every syllable with the breath of sainthood, but I know of no other combination of words that gives such life, that so seeks the crux. Yet, friends, in all this, there is one final use of the word amen. It is, in fact, one of the many names that Jesus uses to describe himself. In the Revelation, we read in chapter 3, we hear these words of our risen Lord to the church in Laodicea, the words of the amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. Jesus Christ is the amen. And just as he is the first word of our faith, so he is the last word of our faith. He is the fulfillment of all of God's promises to us. And so then, is it any surprise at all that the very last word of Scripture is amen? It is true. Let it be so through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to this we say, amen. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the great gift you have given to us, for the privilege of faith, for the joy of knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Use us now and help our amens to echo so that still others may come to know this beautiful truth. Through Christ our Lord, hear our prayer.